Good morning. How is everyone this morning? Good. I'm glad to have all of you. When do the geese officially travel from north to south and south to north? Does anybody know their schedule? I mean, is there a... When did the geese fly south again? They have not invaded my...
They fly south.
Pardon me?
Here in the Denver area, they don't fly south.
Yeah, there's a lot that don't fly anywhere at all. By the way, you've seen geese in the sky and they form a V shape. Do you know why they form a V shape? It turns out G was too hard to make. You know, it's a geese thing you gotta be aware of. Couple of people that we want to acknowledge joining us this morning. Edna Leach has somebody joining. Michael, would you take a microphone down to Edna on your right down here? Not really a guest, a long honor.
I have my granddaughter here, Sydney Weller. She's here from Virginia.
Virginia has lent us Sydney for the morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Okay, we're enjoying her visit.
Glad to have you here. Sandy Tinney has a couple of guests with her. We won't single them out, but we can make Sandy single them out.
I have company from the Seattle area. I went to high school and graduated with Mary, and my sister Pat graduated with Emily. And she's not here because she doesn't fly, but we've been having a fun time.
All right, danger around the Tinney house. Kind of keep an eye on things going on. Things wound up there. Glad to have you joining us. Anybody else want to embarrass friends, relatives, what have you? We're glad to have all of you here. We're glad to welcome the people joining us online. We have a growing online community, and we're continuing to refine how we present our worship services, doing a great job. And we don't always get to acknowledge all the people doing that. Ellen Smith Doctor is gone today, but Ellen helps, and Stephanie helps, and Hadley helps, and Bo helps, and Paya, and that all goes out into the internet and somehow gets sorted out. So we have that gift available as well. If you are joining us virtually and you have any suggestions, comments, or input, don't hesitate to email us. We can ignore you by that way or by mail, either one. So please give us a call. Anything by way of announcements, on the back of the bulletin, you see that we have a pretty straightforward week going on. I was kind of stalling, hoping that Debbie Gunther would wander in. I know she's here, but I know she's busy finalizing stuff. I wanted to know how we did on the clothing giveaway. Want to acknowledge and give thanks to all the people that help with that. A lot of people, a lot of effort goes into making sure that the clothing is there and that we give that out to the people in our community as one part of our ministry. So thanks to all of them. Paya, is there any other announcement that we need to make by way of announcements? All right. Other than the printer downstairs is broken. So we can't print anything, so there's no sermon or nothing. Yeah. Set myself up for that one. No other announcements? If not, stand if you will, wave hello to one another, and let's turn to our call to worship.
Melissa.
We'll keep standing, and then we'll recite the call to worship that's in your bulletin. Come with me to the mountain where God's presence is made known.
We are here to praise God.
God makes sunlight and clouds, summer and winter.
We rejoice in all things that God extends to us.
Let's set our distractions aside and give God our full attention.
God has been our refuge and strength.
We will supply everything we need. Say again?
The hymn?
Yeah.
Just announce it.
Okay. Our hymn is Come and Find a Quiet Center, and it's in the small black book, which is number 2128. You may be seated. The first scripture this morning is from Psalms 104 and verses 1 through 9, 24, and 35c. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they flee. At the sound of your thunder, they take flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not gain cover the earth. O Lord, how manifold are your works in wisdom. You have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Praise to the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks. Good, sir. Thank you.
We turn to our prayer time. There's some concerns on the back of the bulletin. You see those. We continue to pray for Renee Viron's recovery from a from a car accident in July, August, September, somewhere. It's been a long time. Debbie, did you want to say something about a celebration from the clothing giveaway? Un momento, por favor. Gracias.
I want to thank everyone that helped Friday and Saturday. I always say it's amazing how many clothes we get. And everybody that came, we can always use more people, but the people that came take bags and bags of clothes. Thank you from everybody, from the boys helping Friday to Tom and Don, everyone that helped, Edna and Laura and Wendy, Melba, I'm going to forget somebody, Holly, Diana, Dave Freeman. Like I say, I know I'll forget someone, but thank you very much. Today is the crop walk, which if you want to give a donation today or next week, I'll take it anytime. And that is, the registration is 1:30 at Star K Ranch. It's Morrison Nature Center / Star K Ranch. So thank you for everything.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you for organizing that and championing, as usual, our mission coordinator. We are grateful. Other concerns? What other concerns do we have in the body? I want to lift Jeanette Boyles. She fell on September 29th, she said, ended up with a hematoma on her thigh, and things went round and round, so she's been recovering from that. As we all are, and when we age a little bit, we're not like Samu that, you know, they can get thrown off of a 10-story building and bounce, and they're just perfectly fine. As we get older, we stumble and fall getting into our chair at the breakfast table, and we're wounded for weeks. But anyway, she is recovering. We want to lift her and all of her clan that is taking care of her as she is that. She said hello. She joins us online. So straighten up, all of us, all right? So be there. Others, anyone else, any other updates? Did you have an update, sir? Come.
I just want to pray for my cousin Floyd. He's had cancer since January. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But pray for him to keep up his spirits and God to heal his cancer. Thank you.
Okay, for Floyd, thank you. I want to continue to recognize the people who have been impacted by hurricanes. It's that work is going to go on for a long time to recover from and heal from and rebuild infrastructure and what have you. So thank you for your gifts there and for your continued prayers for them. Anyone else with concerns? Michael, Sydney has a prayer concern, please.
Okay, hi everyone. I'm Grandma Edna's granddaughter. I'm graduating from school in March, and I take my boards April 10th, and I'm moving back to Colorado in April, so just prayers for all the changes coming up in my life. Keep me in mind, but thank you.
Thank you, we will, and we're glad that you're coming back, and we'll be watching out for you and straighten ourselves up before you get back here. And congratulations on your graduation. It seems like you just barely got started in school, doesn't it? It goes fast. All right. Holly has a...
When you said that, I thought this was something I should announce too. So congratulations. Just for those of you that know Colin, don't think it was last week. I think it was the week before. I didn't think to say anything. He finished his Master's of Divinity. So it is done after all these years, after 6 years. He's finished his Master's of Divinity. So.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Those of you not familiar, that is the degree that I have a Master's of Divinity. It's the degree required by our conference to be ordained. So congratulations to him. I think he went to Denver Sim. No, he went to Yasbury. That's right. I'd forgotten that. Okay. Congratulations to him. Any others? Prayers of concern, celebration, either one. Paya has something. Michael?
Sorry, I'm taking a while. But my mother-in-law, I don't think she's made this public yet, but please pray for her. She is now on the connectional table for the United Methodist General Conference.
All right. Glad to know that. I'm glad to be in the midst of others. Prayer chain, or the birthday list, you ready? Is today the 20th? Good, for once I'm on track here. Jiminy Latow having a birthday today. We announced that last week, but we want to acknowledge that. I have down here Miss Stephanie Iverson has a birthday. She's going to turn 18. Did you want us to tell your real age or no? No, she's shaking her head as a no. Yeah, at a certain point, you get to the point where you brag about it again. But Ron Mackey's, for example, he can brag about his. He has a birthday on next Saturday. Is that right? Do you want to brag about yours? Oh, don't have to. Holly blew it out of the water. Ron, you're out. 92 years young. We need to acknowledge that, brother. Following week, we can get to when we get to, but keep Caleb Armstrong, Diana Hunt, and Mark Doctor coming up in the week following. So just get ready. If you're out buying birthday presents, you can get those all listed together. Other prayers, other concerns, other celebrations we want to lift. If not, let's turn and join together as in the unison prayers. You find it printed in your worship bulletin. Loving God, hear our prayer. O God, our Creator, we give you thanks and praise. You have blessed us with the richness of creation. The glory of the abundant world you entrusted to us. All too often, we're too busy to notice and appreciate the you in wonderful, ordinary blessings. Help us to open our eyes and see. Guide us to appreciate all your wonders. Show us how to accept your gifts. Show us how to accept each other. In Jesus' name, I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, thank you for this moment of silence, of time to pause, of time to join you. Thank you for your gift of creation, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful. Keeper of our hearts, we are grateful. Lord, we are a world full of joys, but also of turmoil. There are natural disasters that have impacted us, but there are also disasters of our own making in conflicts and wars and division. As we are about this time in our particular history, we stand preparing for elections which inherently divide people. And in the midst of all of the political rancor, of accusations of lies and half-truths and of mudslinging. We seek your guidance. We seek your balm that we might continue to love one another. Lord, when we find out that dear friends are voting the opposite, our opponents in politics, help us separate that from the love we have of them as individuals and peoples, of family and friends. We know, Lord, that you are and will always be the God of all creation, and that through all time you will not be defeated or outvoted, and that we will continue to be your people regardless of all that happens. Help us live as a people of that confidence. Help us live with hearts still open to one another through differences, through variances of opinion. Through disagreements. Lord God, we're grateful. We're grateful for the harvest around us, for the beauty of the leaves, for the celebration of the seasons, for the coming of a holiday, a celebration of All Saints and the day before. We're grateful for the smell in the air and the changes in our lives from seasons, from growth, from life. Be with us, Lord. Be with us and guide us and inspire us. Be with us as always is your way. Help us to pray for all those we know and all those we meet, that our hearts might be as Jesus, welcoming all peoples. Open us, Lord, open us to your love and open us to be people of your heart to the world. And hear us as we join together praying the Lord's Prayer, as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for your gifts and offerings. Thank you for your gifts and offerings to UMCOR and your support of those peoples in need. Thank you for your gifts to Crop Walk and the mission that we support there. Thank you for your gifts of clothing. Thank you for keeping the church, maintaining the church, and lifting us in prayer as we lift each other. Let's take a moment in our offertory. Our next scripture is from the Gospel of Mark. Will you please stand? If you can. If you can't, that's fine. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 21, and 24b through 27. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him,
and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. And you shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They, the disciples, were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Larry. Well done. All right, Stephanie, bring your wild bunch forward, if you would. All you young people of all ages, you can be 90 and still be a young person and come forward and go through these motions, get a little aerobic exercise. Those of you in your pews can get some aerobic exercise. For the vacation Bible school piece, you ought to drag Sydney down here. I bet you, you know, from college, she's an athletic. You know. All right. Does anybody know where that is? I'm thinking it's the Denver metro area, but I don't know of that particular place. I have done some of those flying through the air things, but never intentionally. And especially lately, they end you up in the emergency room. The gospel lesson, that scripture for the New Testament, that was my fault. I changed it Friday, and you would not have known. And I told Larry, he did not know until I printed out the different version. But you caught on really quick, and all of you listened and heard that, and heard the scripture that was changed a little bit there. We added in a piece I had taken out. Mea culpa. Sorry for that. Did you hear that in the gospel lesson? Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That's one of the pivotal questions for us, isn't it? I mean, that's part of why we're in church. It's not all. Given we want to give our hearts, we want to center ourselves. We want to be the joyous people that God enables us to be when we turn to Him. But that question about what must I do to inherit eternal life, the man who comes, and remember in Mark it's the man who comes, but we find out he has lots of things, so he's a rich man. In Matthew and Mark, it becomes the rich ruler as they kind of add on assumptions about this man. Anyway, Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. Have any of you read that and then thought to yourself, what in the world does that mean? Has anybody ever thought that? I don't get it. There's a huge debate about that, and if you want to follow through and do some wild Googling and travel down some amazing rabbit holes, you can go and Google this. And there are debates and assumptions and assertions. One of them is kind of fun. It says that Jesus, you know, we know that Jesus is Jesus. He's will become the Christ. He is, and so he looks at the man and he says, why do you call me good? Only God is good. And wink, wink, winks at us because we know who he is. And the man should say, well, I know that you are the Son of God. But that's a huge assumption, and it flies in the face of some other ideas and some other thoughts. Is Jesus trying to remind us that when we put Jesus ahead of God, that's inappropriate? Jesus is not God, and we don't set God aside and just become worshipers of Jesus. That's inappropriate. And there are some who do that. They take the God of the Old Testament and say, well, that's not our God. Only Jesus is our God. And Jesus would say, why would you call me good? Only God is good. Or is it that Jesus, especially in Mark, is all fully human? Nowhere in Mark does Mark claim that Jesus is God. And in fact, if we are thinking about what we think about Jesus, Jesus was fully human, born the same way as all babies, Mother Mary, grew up fully human. And that Jesus is Jesus, fully human, and we need to acknowledge that piece without getting off into another tangent. Now, I know we are Trinitarian. Our Trinitarian means we believe in the three, the God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in fact, you see the cross, how there's God and two crosses there. And I always thought that was a good symbology of the Trinity, with the lights up there. Did anybody else notice that before this point in time? There's God and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Three. Three's a good number for us in Christianity. That theology of the Trinity didn't come around until the late first century with Pope Clement of Rome, Pope Clement I. So that theology of God and the Spirit and all of those things, how does all that fit together? They didn't really have that thought through. Jesus divine, there have been some apocryphal, extra-canonical stories written over the centuries about Jesus as a little child. It's like the, you know, Gary Larson, he does the Far Side comics, you know. One of my favorite comics is a comics, and it says Moses at breakfast, and it shows a breakfast table there, and here's a little boy, Moses, and his cereal's in front of him, and he's doing this, and he's parted the milk as if to say that he was able to do that in all ages. And there are those who would like to think that Jesus was able to do miraculous things as a child, as an infant, as a youth. But if that's true, that does not really echo our experience. And if Jesus was fully human, he would experience things the way we have experienced things. So place that where you want. There are others who said, and this theology took off for quite a while, that Jesus was God on earth indeed, but that Jesus was God as a phantom, a projection, a artificial, and that when he walked across the sand, he left no footprints. He was just appeared to be real, appeared in the form of a human being. And that's called docetism, and it gained a huge following early on the history of Christianity. But if that's true, it means that Jesus was never truly crucified, never suffered on the cross. It was only an image of him that went through that. And we know that's not Jesus. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is central to who we are as Christians. Docetism was rejected as heresy, and some of those who claimed it were kicked out of the church. It was quite an interesting go-around, and interesting stuff happened there. But so we don't leave it there. No one is good but God alone. Fully human at that point? Is that where we are? Is that what's going on? He would have fully human experienced what we experience. Did he ever stub his toe? And did he ever hop around on one foot? And was he tempted to curse when he did so? I mean, you know, we have all been there. It's me when I bang my head on a cupboard door. There's an instant response of anger there. I don't know where that comes from. Maybe it's animalistic, but I'm ready to turn around and do battle with the door right then, aren't you? We're ready to just get really mad because we've been attacked there. And it's our own doing. And we have to stop and name that reaction, especially when it happens in life, and back up and say, but from my heart, you don't need to love your cupboard door, but if some other person were to inflict upon you some pain. But if Jesus was not fully human, he would not have experienced temptation. Now, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I have experienced some temptations in life. Maybe none of you have ever had a temptation of any kind. I have that every time that we walk by the bakery in the grocery store. I love eclairs, they're tempting, they're calling me. My doctor's calling me not to. You know the temptation, you know what I'm talking about. The pain of loss. Most of us are old enough now. Some of the younger people here, not yet. But if you've lost someone, and you know that pain, Jesus knew that pain. His friend Lazarus died. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. He knew loss, fully human. And he knew the pain of rejection. Remember Simon Peter, Lord, I'll always be with you. And that Simon Peter himself rejected Jesus 3 times. And then the cock crowed. You remember that story? So Jesus, fully human, born of Mary and Joseph and raised in that household. We don't know anything about Joseph, but would have been a carpenter's life, a carpenter's household. And so Jesus, fully human. For me, we meet Jesus as Christ in his resurrection, as he has made the journey, as he has succeeded in walking the perfect path. And that's an example to us as well, because fully human, he managed to walk the perfect path without straying, showing us that it is possible, demonstrating to us that as humans, we can do that. I'm not there yet. I'm trying. I hope you are. We are moving on to perfection. Amen? That was pretty lame. We're moving on to perfection. Amen. Thank you. So back to that huge question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus immediately talks about wealth. You know, I've read in several different Bible scholars who said that of all the parables and all the teachings that Jesus had, he talked about money more than any other subject. We can understand that. It was an issue in his time. It continues to be an issue with us today. You don't believe me? I bet you know exactly what's in your checking account right now. I do, and I'm kind of fretting because it's the end of the month and we're waiting for the first to come around, and I'm kind of scratching my neck and saying, come on, payday. The eagle flies on Friday. How many of you have ever heard that phrase? And money seems to do many things. I remember as a young man, I drove a beat up 1967 VW. Dependable car. I could fix anything on it. I could make it run. I don't think it even needed gasoline every time. Amazing car. Every fender on that car was dented or scratched or scraped. It was nothing to look at. And I remember at some point I was driving someone else's car, and I remember thinking, man, I'm really somebody. Look at me in this nice car. And I caught myself thinking, this doesn't change who I am. Possessions and a nice new car doesn't do that for me. That has to come from in here. And I realized why my dad never worried about fixing up scrapes on cars or driving new cars. If they got you down the road, it was a good car. I've had friends of mine who've bought new cars, and they're in the garage more than they're in their home garage. I diverge a little. Jesus said it this way, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. We've heard that saying, haven't we? Keep in mind, it says how hard it is for those who trust in riches. Money, riches, wealth do not make or unmake us, but putting them first is that temptation. First time I ever read that, can you remember the first time you ever read this scripture, had it read to you, and thought, a camel through the eye of a needle? No, it's got to be a translation mistake. And I was convinced. I'm sure that it didn't mean a camel. It just is a mixed metaphor sort of thing. It's a problem. Maybe a rope through the eye of a camel. I could understand that. And so I actually found some people who had changed the translations, went back to the Aramaic and said, well, the word for camel and rope is very, very similar. And so it might have been mistranslated. And in fact, in the Aramaic, there's only one dot, I think, that changes the two words. So one fly speck could have changed that text, and somebody didn't catch it. And I've wondered about that, and I'm perplexed about it. But then I found out that that's not uncommon in that region to use metaphors like that in that way. It would have been straightforward to them, simple and easy to understand. You can't get a camel through the eye of a needle very easily. Doesn't say it's impossible, but it says it's going to be mighty difficult. This is not a criticism of wealth. That's important to note. Jesus and Paul and his entourage, They lived and survived by those who hosted them, who took care of them, who gave of their prosperity to assist them. And the rich man, you remember, he comes to Jesus. He says, "What must I do?" And Jesus tells him, "Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness, do not defraud. Remember to honor your mother and father." And the young man says, "Teacher, I have done those things since my youth." Jesus looked at him and loved him. That statement's in there. It's an interesting statement. It's the love. Do you know there are five words that are translated from the Greek to all say love? This is the agape, God's love for humanity. God loved the man. This man's on the right track. And then he tells him, he says, use your wealth to help others who are less fortunate. Go out and help those others with the assets and the resources you have. And the man walked away because he had a lot of riches. And he thought riches were the sign that he was great. It is a story about temptations. Temptations to say that wealth defines us, or that wealth is more important than God. There are other things that can easily be viewed as more important than God. Fame or beauty or longevity. Have you ever thought about that? I'm wondering about safety and security. Would people put safety and security ahead of their dedication to being good, devout Christians? I think it's a temptation. I think it could be there that we would put our security ahead of loving another we might decide not to risk. We might decide to keep our door closed instead of opening it to someone who might be in need. Now, I'm not saying put yourself in danger. We need to be wise and able. But temptations are those things that can distract us from loving one another. They're all around us. At least they seem to be all around me. Maybe all of you are walking the straight and perfect path. Thank you for that. Good job. In Jesus' time, wealth was a measure of faithfulness. It was believed that if you were healthy, God loved you. If you were sick, God was mad at you. If you were wealthy, God loved you. If you were poor, God didn't care about you. And those things were not about society or taking care of people. It was whether or not you were a good person and God had decided to bless you. So all of those things tied in with wealth. And so when Jesus tells this parable, the disciples are flummoxed. The disciples were greatly astonished, said to one another, "Then who can be saved? If the wealthy are not the chosen ones of God, then who can be saved? We don't understand." Jesus says, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible. Even for a camel to travel through the eye of a needle. For God all things are possible. Even for someone ultimately incredibly rich and wealthy, they also can be faithful in how they respond. Because all things are possible for God. And in God we have a perfect, unbiased, uninfluencable, unbribable, all-knowing God that knows us and can love us. Jesus looked at the man who had come and says, "I have done all these things since my youth," and Jesus loved him. Jesus loves us as well. Keep up the fight. Stay on track. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. Amen? All right, enough. Let's stand. Let's sing. I have down here that are we going to do a video version? I think we have the piano version. Do you have that by chance, Miss Colleen? I'm sorry, I don't know that we... Paya, you do not have a video version of that, do you? No? Okay. Miss Colleen, look at this, me springing this on her. This is a true professional. Thank you, Ms. Colleen, and I'm in your debt. Stand, if you will. Let's join. Holly, come lead us. Colleen, thank you. Spur of the moment, no warning. The true professional, and we are grateful. We are grateful. Got to work on that communication thing, you guys. Tip me up. Make sure I'm on that. And let us all be about communicating, but mostly communicating with God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, to whom we turn and whom we trust. Go in peace. Amen? Amen. Let's join hands, sing our closing. People said, amen. Amen.